Hello, hello, hello.
What up?
Welcome to The Plot Strikes Back.
Bum, bum, bum.
We're here to talk about an oldie but a goodie.
Classic, yeah, rather.
Definitely a classic sci-fi, horror sci-fi, I should say, technically speaking. But
can we, I feel you can also add some action.
Definitely.
A lot.
A horror, or a horror, horror.
A horror,
horror,
sci-fi, action.
Action movie that,
yeah,
definitely was the start of Arnie's favorite film franchise that he was probably a part of.
Yes, 100%.
But also just catapulted him really into the acting industry as well.
I could be wrong, but was this his first official movie? Because his whatever first official movie it was, whether it was this.
Yeah, this came out. So, yeah. So, this movie came out in October 26th, 1984. So, I think the funny thing, too, is the fact that it came out right around Halloween, you know.
Oh, really? What was the release date of it?
October 26th.
Nice.
So,
yeah,
it definitely kind of fits into this, again,
like
horror, you know, slasher type, you know, genre.
Yeah.
But
yeah, whether it was this movie or the director and or James Cameron was like, you have to be at this weight. Mind you, he had just finished competing again at Olympia. So he had to trim down weight, and basically if he didn't get that weight, he wasn't going to get the part pretty much. So whether, like I said, whether it was this movie or his first movie, that was, he had to come down from whatever his Olympia weight was last time he was competing.
So it wasn't technically his first movie because, yeah, so both Conans came out before.
Gotcha. Then it was Conan. That.
But he had been in some other stuff that was, you know, really small time. I forgot what movie it was that was like really, that like made fun of him, and he's like trying to lift. And he's like trying to flex, and she's like laughing at him. He's like shaking. There's like, stop it, stop it.
I don't remember that.
Oh god, I've seen like the that clip so many times, but that came from one of his earlier movies, because everything else that happens after that, that's essentially when like he takes off. So, like,
yeah.
Then he does Red Sonja, Commando, Raw Deal, Predator, The Running Man, Red Heat, Twins, Total Recall, Kindergarten Cop, T2, Dave, Last Action Hero, Beretta's Island, True Lies. The list goes on and on and on, where like he only kind of just goes into big movies from that point, you know.
God, what a legend.
He's like the epitome of an action hero.
100%.
Between him and like a few others.
One of the first ones.
Yeah, between him and Sly Stallone, yeah, you know. And that's kind of, I always thought it was kind of funny when the Expendables movies started to come out, because then they just started throwing in a bunch of people.
Jesus, those movies.
Yeah, those movies are pretty funny. and over the top on purpose. But so the interesting thing about Terminator is that it came out in 1984. So that is 40 years ago. Not quite, obviously, to the dime, because we're not in October yet of this year. But
yeah,
when you think about it, this movie is going to be 40 years old. And, you know, I know there's been a few places where Arnold has talked about the lines of this movie, the methodology of working with James Cameron, and obviously, like, you know, a lot of people refer to him as Jim Cameron, not James, which is
like everybody calls him Jim.
Yeah. And it, you know, this wasn't Jim Cameron's first movie either, but it was definitely put him on the map for things that just had an effect, like literally till this day, you know. It's like, if you look at James Cameron's track record, I never saw Xenogenesis. That was his first short film. Then he did Piranha 2.
Sheesh.
Yeah, where he was the director and writer for it. But then he did Terminator, and then he did Rambo First Blood Part 2. Then he did Aliens.
I didn't know he did Rambo 2.
Yeah. He co-wrote that with Sylvester Stallone. But obviously, same thing. You know, then he does Aliens, The Abyss, T2, True Lies, Strange Days, Titanic, Solaris, Avatar, Alita Battle Angel, Terminator Dark Fate, which, you know, we don't really talk about. And obviously, he's on this Avatar kick, you know. And obviously, he's done a lot of documentary stuff, too. But, you know, he has his big movies that everyone always talks about, which is usually the Terminator or
Titanic.
Aliens, Titanic. Yeah. I love True Lies. I would definitely cover
that. That's a great movie.
It's such a good movie. But I know how in this movie in particular, there's a couple of things that Arnold talks about, I believe, and it was in the Arnold Show or like docuseries though it's on Netflix. And I think he mentions it in his book a little bit as well that came out recently. I think beginning of this year or late last year. One of the two.
It was like mid to late last year. Because I remember.
Yeah,
I remember the book.
I have his book on Audible that I listened to. The hell is it called? Be Useful. Yeah, that's right. It wasn't too long, but it was a decent length to listen to. But you know, some of the interesting things again about this movie was the cast that, I mean, obviously again it's you know, they're mid 80s, so a lot of these actors are kind of just getting into their mold between Arnold, Linda Hamilton, Michael Bane, I think. I forgot how he pronounces his last name, but he plays, you know, Kyle Reese in the movie. And then of course
Mr. Reese.
The budget for this movie was $6.4 million.
That's crazy. They made this on almost $6.5 million.
Yeah, and granted, I'm not sure what the inflation would be now, but the box office wise, again, you're talking about a rated R movie, right? So at that time, it in the box office, it made $78.3 million.
Damn.
So, you know, it definitely was a success. And again, because it was a success, that's what, you know, made James Cameron's name. Like James Cameron, like he's great, you know, he's going to be great. And obviously then he makes all these great movies. So that's why he's, you know, dubbed as, you know, a top, you know, writer and director in the film industry. And, you know, I know people have their opinions about any sort of director and the movies they create, but I think again, a lot of the big movies, that's what, you know, James Cameron has been known for. So, and then obviously like the theme for Terminator in this movie, it's much better in T2, but it's sort of, there's been time to just kind of figure out what it needs to sound like and what it really needs to feel. But even in this movie, you feel the 80s theme in this movie because it is just so synth oriented.
Yes.
You know, and
it exudes 80s action.
Yeah.
You know?
And I love it. And I've been on a like semi big like synth wave kick right now. So, and it was funny because there's a song that I was listening to from this band called The Midnight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an older song from like 2017, like an EP that they came out with, where there's a song on there that is super reminiscent of the T2 theme song.
The theme.
Yeah, but it's obviously different enough that like it's not super like, oh, this is an exact rip off or even a remix edition, but which those do exist, but
it's just iconic.
Yes, you hear it and you automatically know, up Terminator.
Yep.
So that's just great. I think for the sake of this movie and the plot, it is very, it's interesting. And I say that and I mean that in a good way, not to sound like make it sound stupid, but and I was trying to think about it when I was watching it, because I'm like, okay, if I'm you know, my age right now, but I'm almost thinking like if I'm my parents,
yeah,
you know, if I'm in my 20s or 30s and it's 1984 at that time, and I watch this movie that says we're in the future of 2029 LA, and like I'm thinking, well, that's 45 years from now. Like, that's so crazy to think about.
Yeah,
to
make I wonder what it's going to look like.
About. Yeah, and like, because obviously, I don't want to knock the movie and say how it looks is a dislike, because again, you think about the technology in the film industry at that time. You know, there wasn't a whole lot that was being done to propel the technology, you know, because
forward.
I think, yeah, because I even think, you know, when the Star Wars movies came out before that, and George Lucas even said, the ideas that I have, the technology doesn't exist, you know. So it's sort of like when they made that the technology that they use today, or they first started using for like Mandalorian, he's like, yeah, I thought about this already.
Yeah,
it was just 40 years ago, and everyone's like, what?
It's like, well, think about it. How does someone, you take George Lucas, right? Obviously a genius, very creative.
Yeah.
But how does he relay what he's picturing in his head,
yeah,
when it's not created yet?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then in what, 98 probably, when you start shooting, 99 when you start shooting Phantom Menace.
Right. Yeah.
He has it.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yes. There's been a big enough leap that,
and you can see it now.
Well, yeah, I think,
you know?
Yeah, I think even for the, you know, speaking about the Terminator, between T1 and T2, like T2 came out in 1991. So even for, you know, 7 years later worth of technology, like obviously T2 looks a lot better.
Yeah.
That's because the advancement in that time frame has done enough so they can go, oh, okay, now we can start to do more. And
yep.
You know, from, and I think it's most apparent when you look at those flashbacks or future, you know, flash futures or something like that. You know, it's like he's thinking, flash, he's having forwards. Flash forward. So it's sort of like whenever, and which was one of the things that I liked about the movie, because you were seeing what's happening in the present, but we're getting these flash forwards from Kyle Reese and his memories. Mm-hmm. He's kind of having a little bit of a PTSD moment here and there. And you can obviously see, like, when the hunter killer ships, or like the vehicle is, you know, it's almost like it's in the background as them running.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of like an old school video game at that point too. But it's kind of cool just to see, because, you know, again, if I'm living in 1984, going, what is 45 years later going to look like?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe. I mean, obviously, like, we do have those types of Harrier jets. I mean, we've got helicopters.
Yep.
You know, they're just not fully AI controlled.
We do technically, well, we have AI.
Yeah.
We do technically have AI robots.
Sure.
So, yeah. You know, they're out there doing their thing.
Yeah.
Because
it's, you so. Know, and I think it's interesting because even though at that point in time of the year 2029, when everything has, you know, gone to hell, Kyle says it was about 5 years ago when, like, things started happening, like when the AIs, and which is literally 2024.
It's this year.
Exactly. So that's why it's interesting. It's like, I think, well, why not wait till the year 2029 to do a podcast on this? It's like, I think there's significance of us doing it now because we're in the year as to when things in this movie start happening. Yeah. So, and obviously there are plenty of people that talk about, you know, like Elon Musk said, you know, we shouldn't, you know, tamper with AI. And we've seen numerous companies that have tried to like let AI run things in it. And
it always ends bad.
Yeah. It's like, it becomes like the AI bot gets like super racy. And it's just like, you know, saying the worst things because it's gathering all this like hate from the internet.
Yeah.
And it's like,
well, I think it may have been Amazon. It may have been some like automotive company, but that like they were showing off their AI robots working.
Oh yeah.
And one, it was a video. It like stopped and then it literally like just killed itself. It just shut itself down and the entire body just like fell.
I think I remember hearing about that.
Yeah. And it was like a running joke of like the robot finally realizes like
what humans
have to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah. We just bottle it up and deal with it.
Yep. In some form or fashion, but
yeah, it's wild to think about. I mean, and obviously I love how James Cameron starts to go down the rabbit hole and teach you with this more, but you know, from what we hear and what we see from this first movie, it's this, you know, time paradox, because the Terminator gets sent back to kill Sarah Connor to prevent her son John Connor from leading the resistance against the against the machines, which we find out later on is called, you know, Skynet.
Skynet.
But, you know, Kyle Reese does say like Cyberdyne Systems, and it's like, okay, but then he gets sent back, and it's so interesting the way the two get sent back. Obviously, like Arnold gets sent back, and he's like in this pose, you know, on the ground, and he just rises up, and then, the way Kyle gets sent back, he like kind of falls, and he's like all shaken up, and it's like that's because like he it's like minor detail though, because it's like he's a human, and then Arnold's Terminator's a machine.
Yeah.
So, or like a cyborg. So I like just like the attention to detail that, again, for a sci-fi movie, James Cameron kind of thought, well, would this be realistic? Is this how it would really be? And it's like, well, yeah, because you could send things that, and Kyle even talks about it. It's like, well, you can't send like dead things back. You can't send like certain objects back, because like he's in the, police station,
mm-hmm.
the cops, or maybe it was the psych doctor, who says, where's like your ray guns and stuff like that? It's like, we can't bring stuff like that back.
Idiot.
You know? And that's why it's, you know, it's interesting too, again, just trying to, as James Cameron creates this sci-fi logic where he says like the first models they created were made out of rubber. And they were easily detectable. And then the AI, the robots the machines got smarter and were like, okay, we're going to develop Terminators that are more human-like because they're going to have flesh. They're going to have blood. They're going to be able to talk and sound like a human. But it's the dogs that can determine who is who based on smell.
Yep.
Which, you know, leave it to a good canine to rat out a Terminator. Like yeah. We see in one of those flashbacks, you got some German shepherds there that are barking. And I think that was one of the flash forwards that Kyle Reese has. But again, just, I love like that sci-fi detail that James Cameron creates.
And I could be wrong, but didn't Reese go back in time first before the Terminators could send Arnold back? I think.
Yeah. So it's like, even though we see on film Arnold come first, like, or come back first, it's Kyle that actually was sent back first.
Cause it's like they beat him to the punch and it's like, all right, great, we're here.
Yeah. And then the machine, the time displacement, something or other, that was destroyed.
Mm.
So they're like, we're not going to send anyone back because you can't just keep sending people back and back and back, because, you know, if you are successful, then you don't need to, essentially, right? But
yep.
It's sort of like in the beginning when Arnold finds the punks. I didn't even recognize this, but do you recall who the, I guess, he says he's like the main punk in charge. He has like the blue hair. Did you recognize him?
No.
I was like, wow. I never noticed this, because obviously he's obviously super young in this, but I'll give you a hint. This actor who plays this punk, and same for you listening, if you don't know this, he's the one who says something to Arnold first. He says nice night for a walk. Nice night for a walk, huh? Something like that, right? He's in the movie Twister. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, you know, I pulled it up and I waited, because when I saw the name, I didn't put that with Twister. And then as soon as you said Twister, because I zoomed in on his face, I'm like, holy, Bill Paxton, man.
Yep. Bill Paxton was a punk in Terminator.
Wow, dude.
And that's where I was like, wow, I didn't even notice that Bill this entire Paxton. Time. I never bothered to look, because it's just like, he's not a main actor.
Yeah.
But again, when you think about some of these actors that are in like other movies, but they're just
starting out.
Yeah. Supporting characters, background actors, you know, just expendable actors essentially. Cause he gets like thrown against like the gate. He doesn't get like murdered like the one guy does, where Arnold just like rips through his body and like pulls out his heart or something like that. Like,
it's freaking brutal.
Yeah. And obviously there's a fair amount of violence in this movie and some gore. And, you know, I think one of the other, you know, parts that really builds the action is when Sarah, you know, she starts to freak out because she realizes there are two other Sarah Connors in that same, you know, area that were murdered. And she goes to this tech noir club, and she's on the phone with like the police, and she's like, "Yeah, I think the guy is here looking at me." And then it's like she has no idea that he's looking out for her, and that's when, you know, Terminator, he comes and he's about to shoot her with that pistol with a laser sight on it, and Kyle just comes up with this like sawed off shotgun and just blasts him. And everyone's like freaking out, but that whole scene with like the firefight there is just awesome. I mean, it's obviously, you know, frightening to think about, but it's also awesome for the sake of just seeing how durable like the Terminator was. Because it's, and again, I think about being in 1984 and you're seeing someone get blasted numerous times by a shotgun, and he's still getting up. You know, yeah, and he's just like still getting up and. Just not really fazed by this. And obviously like there's this, the line that Kyle says, which is reiterated in T2, where he says, "Come with me if you want to live." But if you just, and again, you hear that line, and then I wonder why. I mean, I have an idea of why, because it's sort of like a chain where I wonder if that line was just somewhat saved in like the memory banks in lore wise, right? To like the Terminator. But James Cameron going, you know, you've got Kyle saying it to Sarah, but then Arnold as T2 says it to John. And obviously the family relationship there is kind of cool, but which we'll definitely get into that in a moment. But it just sounds so much better when Arnold says it. "Come with me if you want to live."
Well, yeah.
You know, so it's that, and that, but again, that's what it's like. It's a famous line, and you just hear like how someone saying it makes all the difference in the world.
Yep.
And it's like if someone else were to say, "No, I am your father." As like, no, James Earl Jones can't only say that line. It won't sound good as anyone else saying.
Imagine
that.
Hearing it on set and it wasn't James Earl Jones.
Yeah, well, right, exactly.
And you're like,
"No, I'm your father.
This is weird."
Yeah, no, but
can we get him in here to voice this over for us?
Yeah, the flash future scenes or flash forward scenes were great. And honestly, again, you know, Arnold really hadn't been in a ton of movies, but I think because of some of the action that he had to go through with both Conan movies, which I remember hearing, like he was doing all his own stunts and he would do multiple takes. And he's like, you know, "I would be cut up. My back would be all bruised and like bleed. I would bleed in certain scenes, you know?" And, you know, it's like, he just kind of had to go through it physically. But this was the first time, I think one of the only times he's ever played an actual villain in his acting career.
That off the top of my hand I can think of, yeah.
Which he played a good villain for this movie.
Yeah.
Like, there's parts where I'm like, he looks actually, he like legitimately looks terrifying.
Yeah.
When he looks all serious, and he's like in the a couple scenes when he's in the cop car, and he's chasing them and he's like shooting at them at the same time. Like, he legitimately looks like he wants to murder them.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
He is And well, then he's a Terminator.
Right. But then it just fits because he was so sculpted and massive because of his bodybuilding. And
which is crazy because he wasn't near the size
when he won.
He was when he was competing in this movie.
Yeah.
But he's still massive.
Yeah. So it but again, it worked out for him though.
Yep.
You know, and I remember seeing and hearing a couple of things when it gets to the point of him saying, "I'll be back." Because he was not arguing with Jim Cameron, but he would say, like, "Jim, I think I should say, I will be back." And he's like, "No, say, I'll be back. Trust me." And Arnold kind of fought him on it until he started to say it. And then he's like, "Look, and now look what happened."
Yeah.
It's one of the most famous lines in movie history. So it's,
"I'll be back.
I'll be back." You know? And again, I forget what other movie it was, and if it was The Dark Fate or whatever, but someone else said both lines. I know someone else said, "Come with me if you want to live," and then said the same thing, like, "I'll be back." And it was just like, I'm like, it just doesn't have the same delivery.
Cringeworthy.
Well, it's like, at that point, I understand you're trying to put it in, keep it in the universe because this is where it came from. But also, I don't think it really needs to be included.
It's just because it's a callback to the original movie.
Well, yeah,
that's
you're,
all.
You're like an Easter egg homage. Like, let's throw, yeah, exactly. Throw it into T1, T2. But I, part of me is just like, I'd rather just either you keep it to Arnold or you don't keep it in at all. You know?
Scrap it. Cut it.
Yeah. And, you know, I think in addition to Arnold being a great villain, the prosthetics that were on Arnold for that time looked pretty cool when he is like fixing something in his arm, because I think like one of the
it's one of his
shotgun
fingers.
Slugs. Yeah. Was like jammed. So like,
he's just casually like operating on his arm.
Yeah. And then when his face gets busted up and he has to cut around his eye, but obviously you can clearly tell when it's fake Arnold because of the prosthetics, and then when it's not, it kind of just like this, you know, changes scene when he's like puts on the glasses.
But in 1984,
right,
that's wild,
right? Exactly. It's so cool to see that, and now it's just super easy to do because of the technology. But again,
yeah,
the technology that they didn't have 40 years ago, and it's drastically changed. Which I wasn't going to mention it this time. I was maybe thinking about saving it when we covered T2, but maybe I'll throw it in right now. I often think about the other movies that are made, the other Terminator movies. And because I remember, you know, again, I don't remember exactly what year T3 came out.
You know what's crazy is I was about to say, I think that's the only one, that one and maybe Dark Fate are the two I haven't seen. Three's the one with the girl.
Three was terrible.
That's what I heard.
Three was terrible. Right. And I thought it would be so cool because it's Rise of the Machines. Like, we're going to see what happens. Because it's like the guy who plays, you know, a slightly older John Connor, he's just like a little wuss.
Really?
And I'm like, this is not the guy who leads people in humanity to resist the machines.
Maybe.
The takeover.
Maybe it's after the movie, canonly speaking here.
Well,
where he gets that spark, you know, that ignites a resistance that will burn down Skynet.
I don't know, because I like Terminator Salvation. That's the one with Christian Bale.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because that, and honestly, like, that was kind of cool to see because it does take place in the future, and we see more of like the world as it currently is in that universe.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of, and you can see things a lot better too, because a lot of it's at, you know, during the day with the fighting and the action and the machines and whatnot. But I don't think that movie gets enough credit at times, because as far as I'm concerned, out of all the movies that have come out, like, obviously T2 is the best, then T1, and then I would put Terminator Salvation as the third best in the entire franchise.
Huh.
Because there are...
What about...
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
What about the most recent one?
Dark Fate. In that, James Cameron did that one. And it was supposed to be like this...
It was supposed to be the end.
Him, like, retconning some of the prior movies.
Yeah.
But that was trash as well. Like, they brought Linda Hamilton back.
I remember.
For that, but, like, she dies. It's just...
Isn't there, like, a younger Arnold in it, too? Like, a different Terminator?
Yeah, like, he comes back and, like, kills John or something like that, and she's just like... But then, like, the real Arnold goes back. I'm like, see, now it's just getting too convoluted. and I don't think this was good at all. Like, to be... And I don't know. Like, I feel like this is the case in some franchises where you create a great universe, and then when you try to make more story off of it, you end up ruining it.
Yeah.
And I think this is exactly what happened. You know, I don't think some of the things were set in a, just a good idea of, you know, where does this end up going? And I agree to some extent where people were like, well, you know, Terminator 3, 4, and 5, those weren't the Jim Cameron Terminator movies, so canonically speaking, they don't count. And I'm like, but they do, because it literally takes place after, like, after
the other. And that's the issue.
And that is the issue. So I'm like, man, and then you guys created a terrible movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bad script, it's bad writing, it's, you know, it's very cheesy, and I, again, I was hoping, you know, Terminator 5 or the Dark Fate, whatever, what number it is, 6, was going to be good, and it wasn't.
That sucks.
You know, I don't think anyone's missing anything, though. Like, you know, I, again, if people want to watch any of the movies, I'd be like, watch T1, T2, and Salvation, which it takes place in the future, which is something I always wanted to see. I wanted to see, like, the war in
real time,
with John Connor being the leader that we've heard about for so long.
Yeah.
Not like, oh, as him growing up, and then there's another go back in time, you know, time paradox, because, like, they were sending a, you know, the same Arnold, but he's different because he changed him because of CGI, but yet the other Arnold as it is, who looks older somehow. I'm like, see, that doesn't even work for the story.
Terminators
can't age. Exactly. So I'm just like, you guys just...
Maybe they went through, you know, they're like, hey, Terminator, or original Arnold Terminator, come back to time, or come back to the future, the real time. Let us make you look older, blend in, go back in time.
The other thing I didn't like about the last two movies was that even though they sent Arnold back, you know, the Model 101, they sent his model back. Granted, against the T-1000 and T2, we could see, like, the gap in technology for the machines when they, like, create liquid metal. But the enemies that the machines made in the last two movies, it's like you're basically, like, nothing. Arnold's model is just trash compared to them. They're so overpowered. It's like trying to pit Goku versus, I don't know, like
Krillin.
I would even go outside of the universe and be like, versus Mario. Like, you know, like, like, there's just no, like, the power gap is just, you know,
it's just astronomical.
Yeah, like, there's this huge power creep where, like, you've got Arnold's model, and then you've got the T-1000. Close-ish, but obviously different enough that T-1000 does have an advantage.
Yep.
Then the ones in Rise of the Machine.
I remember...
And the other two recent ones, it's like they're just like the technology that the machines come up with.
It's like they can, like, mold into, like, things.
Everything, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's like they're seemingly indestructible, and just, like, there's no stopping them, which, again, I get it. You always want to have, like, a make a new big bad, but I don't know. That it just kind of stopped being interesting.
Yeah, I can see it.
So going back to the Terminator, first movie here as we're discussing it, it's just, and I hadn't watched this movie in a while, but it was very refreshing to watch it and just to kind of see the I say this in a weird way, but the beauty that was put into it because of this, what it inevitably created afterward, you know, I like, and again, this is where it gets interesting with T2, but when Kyle's talking to Sarah, and again, I think acting wise was great all around, even though Arnold didn't have a lot of lines, but still he had a,
he played the role
to a T.
Yep.
Pun intended.
Literal killing machine.
Yeah. And it's like when he goes into the police station, they're like, yeah, we've got like 30 something, you know, officers in here that didn't do a damn thing except just die.
Yeah.
You know, the only person that did anything was Kyle Reese, because he's the only actual like soldier that's seen actual like war and knows how to combat something that is just, you know, kills people for fun.
Yep.
You know, and I like when he says, and he's explaining things to Sarah, he's like, no one goes home, no one comes back, it's just a one-way trip. And the caveat for the psych doctor, Dr. Silberman, which we see in T2,
mm-hmm.
is he's like, I can make a fortune off this guy. Because his story does sound crazy. It's like, what a inconvenience. You came here and you can't go back. Huh. It's like, oh, he's a loon. You know, he's a lunatic. A
crazy person.
Yeah. And he's like, now I want to go back and watch T2 because I have questions that I know the answers to, but it's just,
you need to see them.
Yeah. I need a bit of a refresher too, but you know, it's for the context of the story and everything and like why he's there. It builds over the movie, and it's not a long movie either, which is something I like. You know, it's
under 2 hours, I think, right? Or right around there.
Yeah. It was 107 minutes. So it's like an hour and like 45 minute movie technically. Cause the credits weren't very long either.
Nah, dude, that's the beauty about
older movies.
Yeah, man, the credits are about 2.5 minutes.
You know what?
3 minutes.
I
and most from the beginning.
Yeah, this is a movie where like all the credits are in the beginning of the movie, like where I'm like fast forwarding it to the beginning. But one thing I noticed in the end, which again, when you think about the budget and the effects that were done, again, you say, "Oh, it's terrible," but that's not my point. My point is, when you look at the list of people that do the special effects, there were like 6 names on there. I think 7 maybe.
That's crazy.
And you think about when you watch one of these Marvel movies or DC movies or whatever, you've got
The whole screen
for like a solid like 10 to 15 seconds. It's just a wall of names that you're like, when does it end? Oh, no, it's still going. It doesn't. It's still going. And then you look at it and you're like, this CG was not good half the time, maybe. And you could definitely see like, oh, this movie was rushed. They spent how much? $300 million on this movie?
I think there's about at least 2 handfuls of movies that we can list that for.
Yeah, exactly.
But 6-7 people made this.
With special effects. Mind-blowing.
What a time.
It just shows that it's not always about quantity, it's about quality.
100%.
And
100%.
And again, I think one of the best modern day examples is Godzilla Minus One.
$13 million budget, I think.
Yeah. It made,
won an Oscar.
Won an Oscar for the best visual effects anyway. So that right there shows and backs it up. And I don't know off the top of my head if the Terminator won anything for visual effects, but you can't flaunt at what it did for that time, and again later on for T2, but
scare everybody about the future.
Yeah, right. I should ask. I should ask my parents something like that. I'd be like, do you think about when you watch Terminator for the first time and think like, man, what would happen? Or did you ever think about what would happen 40 or 45 years later?
That's a really good
time you saw that movie.
That's a really good point.
Were you worried about AI or machines taking over, or like, you know, nuclear war? You know, I mean, which I feel like could happen any actual day for us.
Well, when did the Cold War end?
1980s, like, in like 83, 84, I want to say. So
that was kind of, that had to have been hanging over your head.
Yeah. Cause like, you think about when like Chernobyl happened.
That was what, 82?
Yeah.
Four,
early,
maybe?
early 80s.
Yeah.
Something like that. But I love the story of how, and it's just ironic of how Kyle being sent back, even though he states that he volunteered, and then he's John's father. And the one thing I, as I'm thinking about it again, I'm like, John had to have known the entire time that Kyle Reese was his father, because when Sarah asks Kyle, did he talk about his father at all? And he's like, no, he never really mentioned his father. But then again, I think if he would have mentioned, like, Kyle, you are my father, but it's complicated because you don't know that I'm going to send you back to 1984 to stop, or to basically help, you know,
my mom stay alive.
Exactly. And then essentially you're going to knock her up.
Do you
think have me?
He knew?
I feel like he had to have known, because it's, well, like, yeah. And if anyone else would have gone back, like, I mean, I think this is where things can get a little weird. Cause like, what if someone else was sent back, and talking about literal DNA here, some other person could have been sent, some other male could have been sent back. Right. Then Kyle Reese, and like John Smith was sent back. And has a boy. She has a boy. Kid looked different.
Yeah.
Don't know if it would have been the same person though. Yeah, those same instincts. Because I think it's interesting how Kyle was a soldier from the future, and then Sarah Connor ends up being this badass woman.
Badass.
You know, where she's cut. She's vicious. She's violent.
Yep.
She knows how to, you know,
protect herself.
Protect herself, exactly. She's not afraid to use a gun, you know, or a weapon. And then on top of that, you know, what if someone else went back and she had a daughter instead?
Yeah.
Then John Connor does not exist. You've got a Jessica Connor or something like that, you know.
Yeah. So then you kind of have to think like John knew, because it's like, if you don't go back,
you'll never
save
my
mom. You'll never have me, which means this will never happen.
Yeah.
Although
there might not be a resistance against the machines.
Well, yeah. There would have been no resistance. Skynet would have still come.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, and I think at that point you could maybe theorize that, well, maybe it would have, with him not being there, then someone else could have risen to that occasion, to that opportunity. Sure. But then again, I think you might end up being in that same predicament where, let's say, John Connor isn't the leader of the resistance. Maybe we'll just say it's Clark Kent, and I'm just throwing random names out there, but let's just say, well, I won't use Clark Kent. We'll use,
say Bob,
Billy Bob, you know, Billy Bob gets, you know, is the leader of the resistance. And then he's like, hey, Matt, I need to send you back to my mom, Danielle, and save her from this machine killing her. Same thing could happen.
Yeah.
It's just that these are the people that are involved and these are the names. Because Kyle does say from one possible future as well. So
the butterfly effect.
Yeah.
Or what's it called? There's something called a bootstrap paradox, where it's like the common example is if you go back in time to stop creating or from to stop something, you will end up, so it ends up happening. So
yeah,
they go send Kyle back to stop Skynet from ever coming. They send Reese back right. to save Sarah Connor and stop Skynet from attacking.
Right.
But Skynet still attacks.
Later on.
That is, by definition, the bootstrap paradox, I think is what it's called.
Yeah, because whenever we get to covering T2, will be interesting to continue that paradox out, because at the end of the movie, you think Kyle's gone, but so is the Terminator.
Yep.
And Sarah's pregnant at the end of the movie.
Yep.
So it's like, okay, well, now we kind of go, well, shit, you know, things may still happen in the year 2024, but John will grow up to be, you know, a leader and so forth. And
yeah,
but and that's just what people thought after, you know, 1984 until seven years later when T2 comes out. And then it's like, oh my God.
Can you imagine the hype?
Yeah.
Yo, he's back. What?
Yeah.
Man, that must have been cool.
See, and I feel like that's what is lost in some movies these days, where movies get rushed too quickly between taking gaps out, you know?
That, and then obviously being, we could obviously attest to it just being in the, from when MCU first started, or for example,
yeah,
whenever that picture of Henry Cavill dropped from when they were shooting in 2016.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Versus now or another example of that is whenever they had Ultron on set. I remember seeing the behind the scenes picture going, wait, that's Ultron? That can't be real.
Yeah.
And then you see it. But now it's, you see everything on social media. You see whatever they're shooting. You see sets. You see this. You see that. So it's just not the same. The hype isn't quite there. Endgame did a fantastic job of it.
They did. I have to say, yes. They did a great job with that. And, you know, it's unfortunate that there's so much that gets put online now. And you have to have a level of discipline to not look online, which kind of sucks, because, and some people can do it, but then other people, if you have anything to do online, it does make it hard, you know, and then sometimes you may see things that, you know, you weren't trying to see, but it just pops up in your feed because you're like, oh, I want to look at, you know, Godzilla and Kong and their new movie. And then you're kind of like scrolling, and then all of a sudden this other picture comes up that was a leaked photo from the movie set or something. And it's like, oh, I did not want to see that, you know?
Yep.
And it, yeah. And I think that's one of the, honestly, the times that I think would have been really cool to get back to, is how just there's not a lot that's said about movies. Like, you know, there might be a trailer on TV or something like that for a movie. Or like, I remember back in the day too, you only first heard about movies by seeing a movie and then saw the trailer for that movie.
Yep.
And that's honestly what was cool to getting into movies earlier, because you're like, no, I want to see the trailers. Now, like when we go to the movie, it's like, you know, it might say it starts at 3:00, but it's like, it might not even start till 3:20 because we're going to have 20
Dune
minutes.
Dune 2.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there, you're taking forever because the bartender was awful. And I'm like, we got to go. And what was it?
Drink.
It was like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And then they started to show the actual movie theater intro to the movie. And you're like,
it's like, I'm glad I didn't get here super early, because you don't have to try and get seats anymore.
It's not the same. Yeah. I missed the rat race. I'm not even gonna lie.
Standing in line.
The last example I have of that was BVS opening weekend 2015. That's the last time I remember really standing in line for a movie.
I don't remember the last time I had to stand in line for a movie, to be honest with you. But I do remember, and it was good to have people in a group, because you'd have, like, say someone go, oh, you hold the seats, I'll get the
snacks. Or the drinks.
Yeah. Yep. You know, it's like, well, what do you want? Oh, give me like a popcorn, some M&Ms and the Coke or whatever it was. And
here's 20 bucks. That'll cover it.
Yeah. For like four people, you know, not like one person. Now,
when my brother and I went, we went to go see Dune 2 again after we initially reviewed it.
Right.
We saw it again, IMAX. It was like $46. And then I was having some car issues, so I had him come pick me up. So I was like, don't worry, I'll pay for the snacks. That was another $80+, $90 to go see a movie.
It's
fucking crazy. But man,
yeah,
was that movie epic.
Yeah, but it's just a little.
But at what cost?
Yeah, no, it's a little egregious now. The cost that people charge you for seats, and then, you know, the concessions, and I feel like that's why there are people who say, "Now I'll just wait till I can rent it online, or wait till it hits the streaming platforms." And I don't blame them. It's like, no, I get it, but you know, for say something like that we do, or if like you're a content creator and your sort of quote unquote job is to go see movies when they come out and then talk about them. I get it. Cause at that point you can tell other people that, you know, like, you know, hey, this movie not worth seeing, or like this movie is worth seeing. So, you know, again, for the Terminator here, I would have loved to have seen some of these old movies, like for the first time, like waiting in line and cause I don't know. I feel like a lot of movies these days, like there aren't a lot of movies anymore, or maybe in the last like 5 years that I've been like super, super, super hyped to go see. Like, I mean, Dune.
Honestly, Oppenheimer,
Godzilla. Those are just a couple that come to my mind quickly.
But also those, it's just for such a long time, the movie that was gathering that hype was an MCU movie. You know what I mean? Up until Endgame.
Yeah, I'd say the last one was Spider-Man No Way Home.
Or No Way Home, sorry. But yeah, No Way Home.
That was the last one, though.
So from what, 20, roughly, I would say on average, from like 2012 was the first Avenger. So 2013. So 2013 to what? When did Endgame come out? 2018 or 19?
19, I think.
Yeah, so all that time, it's like, yo, I mean, we've talked about it countless times with our friends that we also saw the movies with, too.
Yep.
But post MCU, we'll say, it's a lot of, like you're saying, it's like, oh, I'll wait until streaming, or I'll wait until it comes out, or this is going to direct here anyway, so I'll just wait a month. So I don't know, just movies. Well, Oppenheimer, I think, hopefully brought us back, and then of course Dune. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's just there, it 80s 90s, it doesn't seem like there's that many movies like there were then, like constantly coming out. You know what I mean?
For sure. And it's just so funny to see some of the fads that were from the 80s, like this, the clothing styles.
Oh my gosh.
I'm obviously the music, but which funny, some of the synth music is definitely popular right now, but also the hair, 80s hair, man. Oh my God.
Unreal.
I just did. I'm like, you know, both men it's and hair women. Metal. Yeah. You know, I'm like the bands and everything like that. Just incredible. But just how you had like the dress up type, you've got the punk style, the metal style, the club style, whatever, how they would used to dress up to go out.
Yeah.
It's Friday night. We got to go out. What are you doing? You know, it's just, yeah, cause that's what you did.
Yep.
The other thing I loved it as well. Obviously like the ending, which when Kyle puts the pipe bomb in at the back of the tanker.
Yep.
And it blows up and it catches on fire and it melts.
It's just Arnold. The exoskeleton. Yeah.
And then you just see like the exoskeleton of the Terminator, you know, get up like his legs kind of like, he's like got a limp to it, which is kind of funny, but that's when more of the special effects were used, but you just see like how like terrifying it actually is.
It's scary.
Yeah. And you just think, man, like you kind of, and again, Linda Hamilton did a great job evoking that fear and making you feel like, no, this thing is literally out for her life. So, but conveniently goes through this plant, this robotic facility, I guess, which is kind of ironic too. But, you know, Kyle again has one last pipe bomb and hopefully blew it up, but in the process he dies. But like it's like upper half was still working, because you know, as we find out in the second one, like it's the chip that's inside the head that keeps it going.
Yep.
And it's like crawling with one arm, you know, and it gets under that
it's like a giant compactor thing, right? Or like
And she's like reaching around and like, you know, again, conveniently presses the right button, which is like, you're terminated. And like, it just comes down and squishes it. Yeah. To the point where it just shuts it offline.
Yep.
But, and it's got like the arm that's sticking out
It's always the arm sticking out.
Yeah.
Always, always. Second one, too.
But yeah, I just love how that all ended.
It's just one of those, a pipe bomb didn't stop it. Oh, my God. Two pipe bombs didn't stop it. Oh, my
Fire
God.
Doesn't
it's
stop it.
Still coming.
Yeah.
I think it did what it was supposed to do, and it terrified everyone that it came after and
yeah.
looked at.
As Reese said, this thing won't stop until you're dead and it completes the mission.
Yeah.
So, but, so what would you rate it?
You know, it's one of those things where I rated it something when I watched it and I want to give it a little bit higher.
Do you want me to go first?
You go first. Cause what I'll do is I'll tell you it, you know what? Oh, no, I'll go first. Originally I gave it an 87.
Really? Okay. Mine was higher.
I'm going to give it an 89.
Mine was 90.
Was it?
Yep.
Cause also remember what I was, I hadn't seen this movie in a long time.
Yeah.
I had seen T2 multiple times.
My T2 rating is higher than
yes. And that's the thing. And I remember, saying like, oh, a lot of the things I liked about Terminator, I actually really loved about the second one because I hadn't seen the first one in so long. But with that said, 89. Yeah.
Yeah. And I do think because it's like you could create two types of ratings where it's like this movie as it comes out on its own, that's what that is. But then if you compare it to T2, obviously, which is the more superior movie, and obviously this doesn't happen all the time, because it's probably more of an uncommon to rare thing where
the sequel's,
better than the original.
It is, because...
Oh, this one's totally, 100%.
100%. Like, another example of that thing being true is, well, most movies, but another example is Empire Strikes Back is better than...
A New Hope.
New Hope.
For sure.
Know?
Yeah.
And so on and so on and so on.
Yeah. So,
So 90? 91.
No, I said 90.
90.
I won't budge on that. Like,
90,
I don't think it's... To me, it's not better than a 90.
Okay,
Because I think at that point, like... And again, I can't say the things that make it bad, because it's a 40-year-old movie. Like me saying, "Oh, the effects, you know,
it's
the way
not realistic."
It looked, I watched it in 4K, so like I watched it in the best possible setting you can watch. But it's just that's when it was made in 1984
or 83.
Yeah, so that the technology we're working with is what we actually see.
Yeah.
So. Again, but you think about what they had, what they did, and obviously the more important things of like, how is the plot? How is the story? How is the pace? You know, how are the characters and the acting? I don't
it's
have
all
any complaints at all. So it's just when you start to add more to the story and you do it
it's
a better
like,
way, like with T2, you're like, well, now you start to get closer to like the ceiling.
Yeah.
Where it's, you know, it is a higher rating, but.
You know, most people... I feel like I could put in this same boat with me and maybe you, but like we'd have to nitpick to find out things that we didn't really like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At least for this one. Yeah. We'd have to nitpick.
Yeah, for
with
sure.
This.
So with that being said, I really don't have much else to say other than if you haven't seen this movie, you need to see it because it came out 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Riley.
And, Riley. The one thing I will say is, which he kind of mentioned a little bit ago about his parents, but like if you watch this movie,
yeah,
when it came out, whether you were a kid or an adult, if that was a dumb question, about to be a dumb question, if you've seen this movie like when it came out initially, like, or even on VHS, like in the late 80s, early 90s, like, let us know what you thought that real-time world would have looked like, you know, that 2024 when the problems started to let us know what you think, because I think that would be super interesting.
Yeah, definitely hit us up on Twitter/X.
X, yep.
Find us at Plot Strikes Back. Let us know, tag us, be like, hey, Plot Strikes Back. When I first saw this movie in the 80s or even early 90s, this is what I thought about the plot and the story and just the sci-fi world that this movie exists in, and you know, and then we'll comment and like your posts and stuff like that.
Yeah. And of course, if there's anyone who wants to debate and talk about it, please, we always
Yeah, love a good. If you hate this movie and think it's trash,
hit us up.
Yeah, still hit us up and tell us why, because I would love to hear your thoughts. Yeah. And then debate with them.
We love movies, so
yes,
we just want to talk about movies.
Yeah, 100%.
So hit us up.
That's why we're here. So, but yeah, that'll do it for us here. And stay tuned for some interesting stuff coming out, both I'd say podcast wise and
video,
maybe some video stuff coming soon. So we'll definitely remind people when that comes out as well. And
stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned for more content on the plot.